we're back. The first thing we're going to do today is, on this video, we're going to discuss tuning. And we're going to tune your guitar, and then later on we're going to get into some picking techniques and some exercises that will really help your right hand to get coordinated so that your left hand can keep up and so that they can both work together in unison and in sync. Like I said, the first thing we're going to go over today is we're going to go over your tuning. So this will help you not only be able to tune your instrument, but to tune your ear as well. This is going to help train your ear. That's called ear training. And the first thing we're going to go over is some different tuning tips. Then we're going to tune our guitar up and make it in tune so that you can play along. The first thing is to get a tuner. Now, I have a built-in tuner, but there are also some other different tuners on the market today, such as Snark, IntelliTouch, and Planet Waves, I think, has one. Many different tuners to choose from. But the tuner is a very important and valuable tool. I used to have, when I started out, the Korg tuners, or the Quick Tune's another tuner brand. The big long boxes like this, and you'd have to sit it in front of your guitar and hope and pray that nobody was talking in the room with you, because it would pick up every little thing. And we'd always have to tell everybody, be quiet, quit playing, because, you know, when you play guitar or you're an instrumentalist, if you've got your instrument in hand, you're always going to be sitting there noodling around on it. So I remember me and my stepbrothers, we would do that, and we'd always have to tell each other, shh, I'm trying to tune. And so, but nowadays, the good thing with that is you don't have to worry about that anymore. Yes, you can plug it in if you've got an electric acoustic like I have, but most people don't, and they just have a regular acoustic. Although more and more, these are becoming a lot cheaper, not in quality necessarily, but in price, so that you can definitely afford either or, the benefits of a regular acoustic plus the benefits of an electric acoustic for amplification. But anyway, nowadays you don't have to worry about everybody being quiet, because they have these clip-on tuners that clip right onto your headstock, and it senses the vibration of the guitar itself. See, if you'll notice, if I play an E string, and you can do this too, and then you put your hand on the body of the guitar, you can feel that vibration. It's pretty heavy, especially if it's a low E string. And you can still feel it on the body with a high E string. It's a very sensitive instrument, and you may be even able to feel it on the neck. If you hit the headstock, you can definitely feel it up here with the highest and the lowest. So that tuner picks up that vibration. You would be surprised at how that little string, but you know, does that. But the thing is, it's all the way here to here. It expands the length of the whole guitar. So yes, the vibrations are felt, even probably as far back as these posts, because the string extends that far back. So the cool thing about that is, you know, it's good to get a tuner. They're about, you know, $20-$30, but they're definitely worth it. And I also recommend turning them off. I play with some people that like to leave their tuner on while they're playing, and that really drains the battery if you leave them on. So make sure to turn them off. And for example, mine, on my Martin here, it's a Martin DCXE model, and it has a Fishman Precis Plus in it. And if I'll turn it sideways for you and I pluck a string, you can see it change, and it'll tell you if it's green, it's in tune; if it's red, it's out of tune. But the way my guitar is set up, some of these kind of have to be out of tune. See, like the D is in tune. So a lot of that has to do with the heaviness of the string and things like that. So another tip is, when you get your guitar in tune, or at least one string, you start with one string. Let's say you don't have your tuner ready, all right? But you've got, like, somebody else has either got their guitar and they're helping you tune, or you've got a piano, or you don't even have any of those things, and you want to get your guitar in tune, and all you've got is one string to go by, okay? Let's do that one string, and let's make it an E. Let's start where we're at. Even if I don't have any point of reference, I'll start with that E. Now, the relative tuning method has a lot to do with the fifth fret, and just about every note you're going to hit, you're going to be fretting on the fifth fret to give you the correct pitch. For example, with that open string, let's say that open E string is now in tune, okay, or I haven't tuned it and it's all I've got to work with. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to use the fifth fret of the B string and play it to tune the B string. If the E string is already in tune, then we got to tune the rest of the string. So this fifth fret, is going to help me on the second string here, the B string. So now my goal is to get the B string right there to match the open E string. And this is what I was talking about, ear training. This actually helps adjust your ear to hear that difference. Okay, and then the next one is this is the only exception. On the B string, to tune the G string, the way the guitar is set up, you tune the G string on the fourth fret. All the rest are on the fifth fret, but you tune on the fourth fret. And you're going to try to match the B string now with the G string, the open B string, with the fretted G string in the fourth fret. Okay? Same thing comes along next, and we're going to go into the fifth fret of the D string. Okay? I'm going to try to match the D string up with the G string. Now we're going to try to match the A string 5th fret with the open D string. And now we're going to try to match the low E string 5th fret with the open A string. Once they're in tune, you move on to the next string, okay? And that wasn't the tuning session. We'll go over the tuning session here in just a little bit. Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and do that right now so that I can move on to these other tips here, okay? So we're going to go ahead and do that. And Let's go ahead and tune your open E string. You probably may have already tuned it. Okay, B string. Okay, now let's go to the G string. It's the third string from the bottom. Now the D string. Let's go to the A string. And finally the E string. So that's so that you can be in tune with me so that we can play along together. Some different tuning tips that I've got wrote down here. One thing is, you can go along with a relative tuning thing and everything, but different guitars, depending on different guitars, each one is going to be made different and they're going to have little tweaks here and there. If everything was perfectly in tune, then the guitar wouldn't exactly sound right, because once you fret things, then the strings go a little bit sharp and things kind of tend to move out of tune. So you have to kind of tune this to what sounds best to your ear and what works best. What I like to do is there's a couple of different tricks. The B string is such a quirky string, and even with a compensated saddle, my saddle is moved back just a little bit on the B string to compensate for tuning. Even with that, I still find myself having to adjust the B string to make it sound just right when I fret this G here. And what I do with that B string, the first thing I do after I've tuned all my strings is I play that G. And 9 times out of 10, this G will sound either too sharp or too flat. So what I do is I tend, since this is a D note, and I play that in D, I play that note in that G, and I play G most of the time, so that note is very prominent a lot of the time. So I'm going to try to match this B string on the 2nd fret to the D. And you can even match it to the harmonic there. And all you do with a harmonic is you just barely place your finger on top over the fret, not in between the frets like you would if you're actually playing, but on top of the fret. In this case, this is the 12th fret. Okay, so you go to the 12th fret and go on top of it, which is just a hair over to the right, and then you hit that harmonic. You just barely touch it. and then that's in tune. You try to match it. The B string, this is a D note, so we're going to match it to another D note of an open string. Since this string is not fretted, then I'm not bending it out of tune at all because I'm not pushing any force on it. So it's definitely going to be in tune, and I'm going to match that. And so that'll help me most of the time get that B fret or B string in tune. And I got the nice tuning there. Another thing to do is tune the G string and the heavier strings, maybe not all of them, but especially the G string, slightly flat, just a hair. Because when you're playing G, it's fine. Sometimes when you're playing D, it's fine. But when you go to the E chord, that G sharp is where it really gets you. And most of the time, the G is sharp. And it makes the rest of the chord sound just out of whack. It makes it sound weird. So you want to focus on getting that G string right, especially when you're fretting in there, okay? And so sometimes you can adjust the G string ever so slightly to make it just slightly out of pitch. And the other thing is matching the A string on the third fret to that, the first fret on the B string. Now the reason we're doing that is because, and this is one of the harder ones, seems like, you're going to try to make it the B string sound good with a D and sound good with a C. And there, I can tell right now there's a slight difference in those sounds, but it's good enough for me, okay? Most of the time when you're playing C, if it's not very too much out of tune, then the rest of the strings are going to kind of cover that up and make it sound in tune. So I'll try to make that A match with that, or vice versa. And then I go to the D chord and make sure the A sounds good there. If it's too low, I tune it back up and try to adjust the B string, because I definitely want the A to sound good. But those are my tuning tips on getting your guitar in tune, okay? So that's very important. You want to get your guitar in tune and in tune with everybody else. And I feel it's a lot of things, you know, some tricks I've learned over the years that really pretty much get me in tune every time, and that's the three things. As soon as I get all the strings in tune, whatever method I'm using, whether it's relative tuning, I'm using a tuner, or I'm tuning with a piano, either way, I'm still going to go back and adjust those other strings, because when I play that G, most of the time, it's not going to sound right. So I just want you to know, you don't have to panic when that happens. All you have to do is go back and adjust a few little things, like the B string with a D, or the harmonic. Okay, and the other one was tuning the G string slightly flat if you're having a problem with that E chord sounding way too sharp there on the G sharp. And the last thing is trying to make those two sound very close, okay? Okay, so now let's move on to some picking techniques. And this is one of my favorite parts of doing this. I've been really looking forward to recording this course, and one of the reasons why is because of picking. A lot of people emphasize and stress importance on knowing the fretboard, okay? And I think it's very important to know the fretboard. It's very important to get encouraged and feel comfortable wherever you're at on the neck. And there's different tricks and things like that we can go over, and we'll go over later. But one of the most important things I realized in bluegrass and in guitar in general was when I picked up just one DVD by a guy named Steve Kaufman. And this is a shameless plug for him. He is an amazing teacher. I got one of his DVDs, and then I went out and got a bunch more. He is a very influential instructor and player of mine. He's very awesome. And one of the DVDs that I bought and purchased was one called Picking Up Speed. I think that's the title of it. It's been a while since I've watched it, and I kind of want to go back and watch them again. It's been a while since I've watched any of them. But it's called Picking Up Speed, okay? And that's all about trying to play faster and getting faster on your instrument. And what I realized is what he goes over in that is that it's a lot about your right hand. If you can't get your right hand in sync and let it lead and the left hand follow, then 9 times out of 10 when you're trying to pick fast, like a song like Blackberry Blossom or something, you will definitely get out of whack, and you'll what he calls crash and burn. Okay, you'll just crash and burn. And so what I really practiced on that was anytime I wanted to do any fast picking, I would work on that right-hand coordination. And he gave some exercises, and I've come up over the years with my own exercises that I'd like to share with you. Recently, I've been teaching one of my students and trying to go over some of these picking exercises. So I'll try to make them as simple as I can, but at the same time, not boring, because you want to be able to use these in real life. And there's nothing worse than having an exercise that you can't use in your playing. So we're going to go over some exercises that you can use in your playing and that are very helpful and that are could be considered licks as well. Okay? And so the first thing we're going to do is the one of the most important things about picking, like I said, the right hand is the key to speed. Okay? It's the right hand. You got to get that thing coordinated. One of the main things I learned from Sid Kaufman was that if you're playing along with a song and your foot's tapping, then your hands should match your foot. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like if this is my foot, it's also my hand. If I'm patting my foot, I need to go along with a beat. Say I was playing a song this fast. Notice every time my knee comes down, I'm doing a downstroke. If I just did something random picking stuff, going down, my picking hand is going down matching that. And what he said, and it really opened a whole new can of worms for me, or jar of pickles, depending on where you're from. Just a little joke there. That was terrible. Anyway, what I really learned on that is that if you go against your natural rhythm by playing, let's say, 2 downstrokes, notice if my foot is going down, it's also coming back up so that it can go down again. A lot of times we ignore that upstroke and we'll think about whether down is what's important because it has the most power. It has the most, you know, it's more natural for us to go down than it is for us to come up. And so, but if you're going against that natural rhythm, say I played, if I was playing licks like that and I played 2 downstrokes in a row, that would just get me all out of whack. See, I don't even know how to do that. I've learned to do it the other way. For so long, it's hard to even do that on purpose. But we've got to get this right hand coordinated, okay? So that's what we're going to work on in these picking exercises, and we're going to incorporate some left hand stuff in there as well. This is very important because it's so often overlooked and it's so often underestimated how important the right hand is. And what I'm going to tell you guys is you have to practice slowly. One of the worst mistakes I ever had, and I had to go back and, you know, kind of practice slowly, is I wanted to jump in there, and I got excited, and I wanted to do it so much that I had to, you know, I felt like I wanted to kind of bypass all the rudimentary things and the fundamentals and get straight into the picking fast. I wanted to get it done. But you have to be patient with this kind of stuff. You have to practice slowly. And one of the most important things is you have to, these exercises are going to incorporate alternate picking, okay? So that is a downstroke, and then immediately after that, an upstroke, and then vice versa. And so, that's down, up, down, up, down, up. And that's what alternate picking is, simply just that. Okay? And so, if we considered the downstroke, the downbeat, the count, if we go 1, 2, 3, 4, if we did that, we have to come back up, like I said. And a lot of times we ignore that because we're so focused on the 1, 2, 3, 4. But if we come back up, when we come back up in music, that's called the and beat. Or if we're considering 8 notes, that's the offbeat. So that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. If I was counting with the and beats, it would be 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. And if this was 8th notes, it would be considered, it's the same thing. That 8th notes are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. That every and is the second half of that beat. So every beat is actually 2 small 8th notes. 1 and. That's considered 1. one beat, two, and. And so every the reason I mention that is because that's a reference we're going to use. If I say the and beat, you're going to know that that's an upstroke. So if I said one, and, two, and, three, and, four, and, that was a total of four counts. One, two, three, four. One, and, two, and, three, and, four, and. So what I'm saying and when I'm playing along, if I reference an and or you're playing on the and beat, that means that's an upstroke, okay? Just to get you that settled. Okay, and we're going to get on exercise in just a minute, but let's talk about the left hand now, because you can't play guitar just with your right hand. The right hand has to focus on one thing while the left hand is focusing on another, and that's very important, because a lot of my students, they have the problem where they're trying to get the strumming down, and they're trying to get the chords down, and if they're just starting out, they don't know the chords, so they get messed up down here, and they can't. They have to focus on this, and then this hand completely stops, and their head's doing this right here, back and forth all the time. They'll play, they'll stop, they'll see what kind of strings are hitting, and then they'll stop and make sure they're doing all right, and it's just a mess. You've got your brain doing two different things, and you got to focus on one thing at a time, okay? If we're focusing on picking exercises, we got to focus on the right hand and or the left hand. Because if you're not familiar with the left-hand movements, I suggest you start with those first. Like if we was to do a little lick, that's just something random. If I was to do that, naturally, if you're not used to picking down and up, you're going to have problems with that. And since it's a new pattern, you're going to have problems with that. So I recommend starting with the left-hand stuff first and do it as you're used to picking it, okay? Whether that's all downstrokes or downstrokes and a combination of upstrokes here and there, and it's not completely down, up, down, up, down, up. Do what you're comfortable with the right hand while you're working on these new patterns for the left hand. And then once you get this down, once this is comfortable, then go back and work on getting this correct. Down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Okay? And there's some different exceptions to that. Sometimes we'll have to use a two upstrokes or two downstrokes. And if I come to that, we'll get to that. We'll stop and talk about that. But the left hand is the key to finesse, okay? Your right hand is always going to be picking. It's always going to be hitting a string. And hitting a string with a pick is very harsh. As opposed to doing it with your finger. Okay, as opposed to doing that, that's very harsh. But to make it sound even better, the left hand is key to finesse. It's key to making it sound amazing. There's different techniques to go over. And some of those we're going to be applying in this course are mainly hammer-ons, pull-offs, and slides. Not going to really get into a lot of string bending because with acoustic guitar and with heavier gauge strings, you can't really do a whole lot of bending in that. That's more for electric guitar stuff, like I went over in my my Texas Blues guitar course, which you can find out more information by going to www.secretsoftexasbluesguitar. And I went over a lot of bending things in there and other techniques. We're going to go over hammer-ons, pull-offs, and some slides, and maybe even a little vibrato, which is the little string shaking technique. Hammer-ons and pull-offs, we're going to go over how to do each of them correctly. Okay? Okay, so for one thing we're going to do is we've got to get, for hammer-ons and pull-offs, we're going to work on getting this to sound right, okay? And I have here in my little notes here that I'm guessing that we're going to go over hammer-ons and pull-offs right now. So let's go ahead and do that. Yeah, I don't see them anywhere else. Okay, so this is going to be pretty quick because we want to get into the right-hand stuff. But it's important to do these other techniques because some of these exercises are going to incorporate hammer-ons and pull-offs. And licks will definitely incorporate them, and they'll incorporate slides. So slides basically just sliding up and sliding down. No big deal there. Pretty easy to do. You always want to start close to the fret and end close to the fret of where you're landing. And you can start with, you can slide with whichever finger you want to do depending on where you're at. Like, for example, I was doing the middle finger here. And for the C, I was sliding here because there's no sense if my finger's already there in having to go back and slide like that. Plus, that gave me other fingers here after the slide to work on those little licks. Okay? So, we're going to work on hammer-ons and pull-offs real quick. Hammer-ons are pretty simple. If I was to say hammer on the second fret of the D string, it would be like this. And all that is you're going to take your finger and just put it on there about the same, I think I've heard it said, the same pressure as you would if you're typing on a keyboard. It doesn't require you to really hammer and jam your fingers down on the keys. It's pretty, you know, soft and smooth. So I want to hammer this on that second fret. And one thing you can do too is, also I learned this from Steve Kaufman, is that you can take and hold your finger and then try to push it and force it and then let go of it. And I'm not very good at that. But you're going to try to aim. Here's what you're going to try to aim for. You're going to try to aim for the same volume as the string when it's picked openly. You can hear that. If I did this, you wouldn't be able to hear it because I'm not applying as much force as I should. And if I did that without picking the string, I'm using the same amount of pressure, but it's not as loud. And that's because the string is not vibrating of its own accord after I've picked it. When I pick it, it's still vibrating, and that vibrating is kind of helping push that hammer-on over the edge and sound the same volume. I'm not deadening the string. I'm continuing it and helping that momentum of the string already to carry on over into the next note. And that requires putting the pressure, same amount of pressure down as you would when you're playing a chord. If you're not putting enough pressure down, you're going to get that. You need a lot of buzzing. But if you push the notes down, it's going to be clear. So one thing you could do is practice how much pressure it takes to get that note with a pick. And once you get it, kind of get an idea of what that feels like on your hand, on your finger there, and then let go and then hammer on with that same amount of pressure. Okay, and that's hammer-ons, all right? So nothing very hard there. Always hammer on close to the fret. Anytime you're playing any instrument, any guitar stuff, you always want to be playing close to the fret anyway. And that's because when you're playing close to the fret, it allows the buzz to go away. If I use this same amount of pressure and moved it up closer to the fret, the buzz goes away, and it's in tune now. Plus, that's another good point, when you're in tune, if you play down here in the middle of the frets, it's almost like these two frets are peaks. And anytime you take, let's say these are the peaks, and I put a board in between them, if somebody stands on that board, it's going to sink. So now it's held up between this peak and this peak, and the middle is sinking down. Well, think of a string that way. Whenever you have two frets here, and you play in the middle of that fret, it sinks down, which does, in fact, bend the string out of tune. So if you might not be able to hear it here. Let's try it somewhere else where it's a little higher. If I bend hard there in the middle, you can hear it going in and out of tune. That's going to force me to get rid of that buzz by pushing harder. But when I push harder, it bends the string out of tune. So we always want to place close to the fret. Okay? It requires less pressure, less hand cramps, less hurting, less finger callus, you know, pain. So always play close to the fret. Whenever you're playing a chord, make sure each finger is pretty close to the fret. Now, some chords is going to be different, like an A minor, for example. This finger is in the middle of the fret. You can't really help that because this finger is blocking me from going any higher. Same thing with an A chord. These two fingers aren't right on the fret, so I have to push a little harder on this one. So there's some things that you kind of can't work on that. But if it's an individual chord like this where you have room on all the fingers, aim for playing on the frets, right close to me, close to the back of the fret. Okay, so pull-offs. Pull-offs are a little different. It's not the exact reverse of a hammer-on. A lot of people tend to think it is. But a pull-off is, instead of, let's just go back to the D string, second fret. Now, if I hammer on, it's as simple as that. If I pull off, the string dies. Okay? So the string dies. Now, how do I get it to sound the same? If I'm aiming for that note to sound the same and have the same amount of volume, how do I get that to work? Well, this is a little technique I call pick and flick. You're going to take that finger, and you're going to kind of, as you fret it, you're going to kind of come down a little bit while still holding it, and just release it, just flick that finger. You're kind of going over the string, grabbing it, and then pulling it back. Notice how loud that is when I do that. I'm not even having to pick the string, and it's louder already than a hammer-on is. See that? See the difference? So when I'm picking, this is kind of a coordination thing. When I'm picking, instead of just lifting up, all I'm going to do is kind of come down a little bit while still holding the string, then let go. It has that nice whip effect, that nice, you know, whip and slap back effect. Almost sounds pretty cool. So then from there you combine the two. You go from hammer-on to pull-off. Every time I'm pulling off, notice my hand is coming down just a little bit so that I can grab that string. I'm just flicking it. And you see people like Stevie Ray Vaughan and some of them other guys when they're doing vibrato. And that's all about flicking that string so it has that same amount of volume as it does when you're picking it. So that's hammer-ons and pull-offs. And for example, that lick incorporated, and we'll go over this lick later, the classic G run, is a hammer-on and a pull-off there. A lot of licks are going to have a little bit of both. And as we go along with this, it'll be a little easier to get the hand-eye coordination down. Okay, so that leads me to the actual exercises, okay? The exercises we're going to go over are all about getting your right hand coordinated, but it also has a lot to do with getting your left hand, keep it from being too bored, because you want, like I said at the beginning of this, you want to be able to have exercises that you can incorporate in music and that you can use as actually licks. So in order to do that, we're going to go over some of these exercises. These exercises are going to help improve the coordination and the smoothness for both of your hands. It'll help the picking. You'll be more confident in the picking and more smoothly you're picking, because these exercises are going to help you go from string to string. Therefore, that way you won't have to look down here to see which string you're on and everything. You can do it because you've got that feeling that you've done it enough times and you know exactly where the strings are based on how many times you've practiced this. That really helps in coordination and getting your strings right and getting you more comfortable with playing the instrument itself. It also helps with this hand because this hand does all the fret work, so these both need to be communicating one to another in sync. That's very important. And so these exercises are going to help improve that coordination, that communication between both hands, and also improve the finesse part, the smoothness part. Not all the strings we're going to pick are very hard. There's going to be some light picks. There's going to be, you know, a little bit of dynamics involved where you have light notes and soft notes and then loud notes and hard, gritty notes and, you know, notes with attitude, okay? So these exercises will help you start on your journey if you're not familiar with the picking or any bluegrass guitar. They are designed for applying the most important techniques found in flat picking. I've, through the years, experimented with all kinds of, you know, fiddle tunes, and from that I've learned my own little licks, and I've also learned what works for me and what is probably some of the, as I listen to other guitar greats like Tony Rice, Brian Sutton, you know, Kenny Smith, some of those influences that I have. I've learned what they do, and I've heard what they do, and I have incorporated some of that in these exercises because it's what's most common that you hear in flat picking. So you're not just going to get any run-of-the-mill flat picking course with me. I've studied it long enough and hard enough, and I know what sounds good. I know what I've heard the greats do, and so I'm passing that information on to you, and these exercises are going to help you get a sense of that. I just went over. These are going to make you make it easier for you to cross the strings. If I'm playing something, I automatically know what string I'm on and how to get there. I know that was the D. I knew that was the B. Because of the feel that I have and the comfortability I have across these strings because of playing. And that's going to help you as well. We're going to go over some exercises as well that incorporate what I like to call backtracking. And as I go into those exercises, I will explain that a little bit more. But that is one of the things that I have found key in my picking and in hearing other flat picking artists, and that is the ability to switch directions. That's basically and essentially what backtracking is you're switching directions while you're picking. And you could be going down, and then all of a sudden you want to come back up and go up the neck or up the strings. And so backtracking helps you with all that. It helps you go as you're coming up to go down one and come up two, then down one, up two, and get across the strings like that as well. Not just, you know, I'm going up and down there. So that's an example of one of the exercises I'll go over. These exercises incorporate those hammer-ons, and they incorporate pull-offs. And once again, when we do these, we're about to start these in just a second, bear with me. But when we do these exercises, once again, the key is practice slowly. Be patient. Don't rush yourself. Give yourself, you know, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you want to practice. And sit there and, you know, think about it. Think about where you're going. And just take it easy, slow and easy. And it will become a lot less frustrating because the next day you'll come sit down and you'll be doing this stuff and realize, I didn't have to think about it too much because you've basically ingrained it into your real memory and your muscle memory, which is what your hands are and they're used to playing. That's what helps us to be able to play chords without looking. It's that our fingers have adapted to doing that so much that now they have a memory or a muscle memory of their own. Same thing with a pick. Your right hand can develop a muscle memory. It knows how far away to be from the strings based on I use these last two fingers as a guide to let me know where I'm at on the fret on the body. And also, as I move my hand up, when I stop, when that stops, I know that I'm typically on the low E string. So I have about that much of a gap between the high and the low E string. And so this kind of helps me guide and also helps me in muting strings that I don't want to ring out. So there's all kinds of different elements like that. It's not just picking up a guitar and doing that stuff, which is very sloppy, by the way. If you want to be effective at guitar, you don't want to have your hand just going out of whack like that. There's a lot of importance on finesse and control, having control over your own hands. And we're going to teach you to do that with these exercises. So let's go ahead and get on the exercises. And the other key is repetition, okay? Repetition is key. Not only do you want to practice these things slowly, but you want to do them over and over and over again. Okay? You want to practice these things because it is very important to get your hand used to doing this, both of them. It's important to keep doing it over and over again to kind of force your hands to remember what they're doing. Anytime you want to memorize something, say you want to memorize a Bible verse, you're going to sit there and repeat that over and over and over again. Or from your college or school days, you know how you had to memorize the Shakespeare sonnets or the poems or things like that. And what did you do? You sat there and went over and over and over it again. And there's no shortcut for that. There's no shortcut for learning something the right way. You have to practice it slowly. You have to repeat it. And then that helps you to recognize little patterns that I went over also in my Texas Blues guitar course. Little patterns that you find that are easily repeatable and helps you learn the things a lot better. So let's go on to some of these exercises, okay? First off, what I want you to do is I want you to get your pick and get it ready. And we're going to go over just something very simple, okay? And that is going down and up on two different strings. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down E and come up on the A. Okay? And that's one thing that you're going to have to get used to picking. And you might want to get away from your friends or away from your wife or whoever you're doing, whoever is in the house with you, because they're going to get very irritated at hearing that. Because when I said repetition, I meant repetition. You want to do this over and over again. And you want to kind of speed it up too. You can do it with a metronome if you need to, or you can do it with your foot. Down, up, one, and two, and three, and four. And so you can be moving your foot while you're doing this. Okay, so if this is my foot, that's what it would look like. Okay, so that is the first step, getting your hands used to going back and forth. The next step from there is a little bit different. What we're now going to do is we're going to go down, and you know, as these, I'm going to kind of go over these a little bit quicker, you know, one after the other. So that's exercise one. Okay, you're going to have to come. I'm going to go through these quickly that way that the video doesn't extend too long. And so when you see me switch it up, know that that's your next exercise. So you can pause it at that time, or you can go through two or three of these exercises, then stop for the day and then go try to work them out. But I'll let you know, these are all different exercises, okay? This is our first one. The next one is going to be just another general exercise, and it's going to be the same thing, but now we're going to try to switch strings while we're doing this. So it's going to be down up on the EA. Now let's go down up on the AD, the next two set of strings. Now let's go down and up on the next set of strings, the D and the G. And the same thing for the D, the G and the B. Same thing for the E and the B and the E. Now, to get that to work smoothly, not only do we have to practice slowly, but here's one of the patterns I was just talking about, the repeatable patterns, things that you can, you know, do over and over again, and that stands out. Whenever I'm doing the upstroke, every upstroke is when I'm going to switch to the, you know, the next string on the downstroke. So if I go down up on the E, A, that A, I'm going to go down on that A. Because that upstroke was on the A, that's the string I'm going to go for the next downstroke. Up on the D, so that tells me I'm going to go down on the D. And what you have to do is you kind of have to hang out in that general area. When I come up, I'm still just on the other side of the A string. There's on the inside and the outside. And I'm going the outside of the E, the outside of the A. And now I'm going, actually, two. And then now I'm going on the outside of A. So it's outside, inside, outside, inside. So outside is the side closest to you. The inside is the side away from you, the other side of the string. The upstroke side is the inside. The downstroke side is the outside of the string. It's kind of confusing, but just remember, every downstroke is this on that string is where I'm going to start my next upstroke. So you're going to be picking some strings twice. That A string I picked twice. One, two. The D string, one, two. Last stroke's going to be an upstroke. And it gets confusing as you speed it up, obviously. Okay, you want to go for that speed eventually. But the thing is, don't be frustrated. You see that and you're like, I'll never be able to do that. You will, okay? Just work at it, practice slowly, and do it over and over again. Okay. So the next thing after that is now we're going to try to cross over the strings one at a time. And what you do with that is a downstroke on the E, upstroke on the A. Now, instead of going down on the A, we're going to go down on the next string. So each string is going to be a different stroke. So E is down, A is up, D is down, G is up, B is down, and E is up. Once again, we're ending with an upstroke. The key to this is, as you're picking up, you have to kind of start moving down a little bit so that you can hit that D string. We're no longer staying in the A string area. We're in between two different strings. On the inside of these strings, we're kind of trapped, and that's what's weird about this. The outside of the strings, it's no problem. But when you get in between two strings and you feel a little trapped, it kind of feels weird. So you got to realize that upstroke is... the A string to the D string is the little inside of those strings. You're kind of trapped there. And so D to G is the same movement as E to A. It's the outside and then outside. But when we hit that G, now we're in between two strings again. We're stuck here. Okay, and then now we're back to the outside. And I'm just twisting my wrist for emphasis here. When I'm actually picking this, I'm not really going like that. It's just a slight effort on my part. So when you go one way, you want to go back up, just like I demonstrated there. Okay, and that is the alternate picking general exercises. Now we're going to go on to some actual exercises with licks. Okay, with that you can use as licks. And I've got these wrote down on a tablature here in front of me. So I'm just going to take my time on these because it may take me a little bit to figure out what they say. So let's just go over some of these, and I'm going to go over some of the G exercises, the main keys are going to be in this, like I might have mentioned in the first video, is we're going to go over G, C, and D. So we'll need to know licks for all those. That's the main three shapes that you play guitar in, whether you're on the second fret for a capo, for the key of A, or whatever. Most of the time we'll be playing G, C, or D form, okay? So let's go over some of these exercises real quick. And the first one is, it's what I call a G, kind of like a go rush exercise. And this is going to be incorporating, like I said, all the different down ups, and things like that. And let's see here. I've got these written down in a certain order, but I don't think I'll worry about that. As long as you know I'm in G or where I'm at, it's going to be fine. Okay, so the first one, gold rush. It's kind of a gold rush exercise. We're going to do this, and we're going to do what's called cycling. And that is, we're going to play the lick and then repeat it over and over again. Not stopping, but you'll see as it goes along, I'll explain a little further. But anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start, and this is going to incorporate a lot of downstrokes and upstrokes, a lot of alternate picking. So for right now, pay attention to my left hand and look at your tab in front of you and kind of follow along with what's going on here. So if we had a G, here's what's going to be. It's going to be open B, and the tab shows this. So we're on the second fret for now. That's what I would call the first half. So everything is second fret or open strings. Okay. And then the last one's going to be a downstroke. We're going to start with a downstroke and an upstroke. This is all alternate picking. Okay. Okay, and then after that, we have the little hammer-ons, and that's going to be an upstroke. It's going to be two upstrokes in a row. And then, okay, so we're going to do that. It's the same kind of pattern on both strings. So down, open hammer-on second fret, up, open D, and then down on the A string third fret. The same thing here. So that's... Now, you might be asking, why is he doing upstrokes twice in a row instead of, you know, down, up, down, up? And I think I mentioned when I get to this point, I'll explain that. When you're doing a hammer-on, most of the time, that hammer-on counts as the extra pick stroke. So if I'm going down on the G, open... That hammer-on is my downstroke. So if I naturally follow that same pattern, the next stroke will be an upstroke. And here's how it would sound if I actually did a downstroke. So I would be an upstroke on the D, right? So if I did the hammer-on, I kind of match what I would have done if I had, in fact, used that extra downstroke. And that is so important because that, once again, helps you not go against your natural rhythm. If I'd went down on that note, then I would have come back up, and then it would have got me all out of whack. It would have got me all confused, and I would have, like I said, crashed and burned. So we want that hammer-on or pull-off, a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, acts as the upstroke or downstroke, depending on whatever you're doing. So that's why I did 2 upstrokes in a row. Down, hammer-on, up. It's a downstroke on the hammer-on. If I was using downstrokes, the next stroke would actually be a G and up. So altogether, this sounds like this. And when I said that we're going to cycle that, what I mean is we're going to do that over and over again. So once you're familiar with this, once you have done this enough to where you're used to it. Like I said, you might want to practice just this and get used to doing it with your picking style so you're not going back and forth, getting used to 2 things at once. Do one thing at first at a time. So it starts with a down. You may be doing it, if you're starting out with this, you may be doing all downstrokes. And you'll find as you get faster, you can't do that. It gets hard. So get used to this first and then go back and say, okay, now I've got to get my picking right. I know the first note is a downstroke, and the last note is a downstroke. So as long as I got that, I know that that's my test to make sure that I got these picking patterns right. Okay? Then you'll work on your picking here. And then the next thing, like I said, we're going to cycle it over. Once you get used to this, we'll cycle it. And what that means is we're just going to start over after that last G. We're going to hit that open B again and start all over again. And that exercise alone is a good example of playing an exercise that works in music because that's actually part of a song called Gold Rush. And depending on who you're watching playing it, everybody plays it a different way, but this is just the way I play it. And it's also good for playing the down, up, down, up, okay? And as you speed it up, it gets a little tougher. But like I said, start slow, use a metronome if you have to, and then gradually increase its speed and work on getting it faster. Okay, so that's exercise. Excuse me, for G, that's exercise number 1. Let's go ahead and go on to another G here that I've got listed. which is let's see here. Okay, I've got three or four different links here. Okay, so let's go on. Let's just go ahead and go on to another G lick, which would be making sure that I'm not overlooked anything. Okay, let's just go to the next one in order. This is a little different, and this one is what I consider a Beaumont rag type of lick, type of exercise. So this is going to sound like this. Okay. And that looks like it may be able to be cycled as well. If not, we can just go over it, repeat it. So with this lick, this little exercise is going to be completely down upstrokes, alternate strokes. There's no hammer-ons, there's no slides. It's all going to be just the pick. Once again, get used to the left hand first with whatever picking style you're used to, then go back and incorporate that down-up movement. So the first note is a downstroke, okay? That's your starting point. Everything else after that is up, up and down, up and down. So you'll have to start this slowly, because if you don't, it's not going to make sense. And if you're not used to doing this down-up stuff, it's going to be a little weird. Okay? And that's a lot of going back and forth and switching, you know, different strings and things like that. That's a little finger twister, I like to call it, like a tongue twister. It's a finger twister. And it takes some time to get used to it. I use my second and third fingers. And I use that G shape, not this one, but this one. Okay. And you would do that over and over again until you got used to that. At the end, you can add like a little G run. And that is part of Beaumont rag. Beaumont rag is generally played in C, but that is one of the licks in there, Beaumont rag. And a couple other songs use that as well. And they like to use that backing up and going back and forth thing. And that leads me into the next G lick, which I consider backtracking. Now, backtracking, in my definition, is just a word I came up with to describe what it feels like. Okay, it's basically is when you're going, kind of like if this is a Beaumont rag, we're going back to that G. We've moved forward in the progress. But now we're going back. So it's like three steps forward, two steps back. And that's actually a backtrack too. We went down, but we're going back to that G. Back. Back. So that's kind of back too. And that's all about switching directions. You're going forward a little bit and then going back. And going forward a little bit and going back. And I know this isn't shred guitar or anything like that, but that is one of the things I learned, and this is why it's important to learn all different genres as big as you can, because it gives you techniques you can use in other styles of music. One of the things I learned when you're playing shred guitar, if it was, like, for example, playing something in G minor, they use these little patterns. Not only is it, sometimes it's all up. Sometimes it's going all up, but sometimes it's going forward and then coming back down a little bit and then going forward again. So, we're going up some, then we're going back. were, adding a couple notes at a time, switching, and going back to that. And one of the premier shred guitarists I've learned a lot from is Paul Gilbert. You really need to check him out. He's amazing. And he's a wonderful instructor as well. But back to bluegrass. This is some of the stuff that I use, that is used, and it's kind of like the same technique. You're going up some, then back some, and then up some again. You're generally going forward, you're being held back, and then you're going forward a little bit more, okay? So we went forward on this little shred thing. We went forward, coming back down. Then we're going forward two more. These two more, okay? So the same thing. This is going to be the G backtracking lick. And see if while you're doing this, you can pay attention to some of that, okay? First thing we're going to do is this G. It's kind of a bluesy lick. That's my backtrack. And this is going to sound like this. Now, since this has a lot of pull-offs, there's not going to be a lot of alternate picking. And once again, that pull-off is my upstroke. So I've got two downstrokes in a row. So it actually matches. If you was to watch my right hand, and that's another thing I failed to mention a minute ago, is on this stuff, when you're watching this, kind of watch my right hand as well, okay? Because that's where you're going to learn the picking. And I, instead of me going down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, watch what my right hand is doing. In this case, watch my right hand, two downs, then up on the backtrack. I find one thing is very common with backtrack licks is that a lot of the times the backtrack happens on an upstroke. Okay, so if you was watching my right hand, you'll see I was kind of emphasizing the upstrokes more because that's where I feel like it's changing directions and then coming back, okay? So once again, that is downstroke. So if we just took that one part, it'd be two downstrokes and then an upstroke. And then that right there is one downstroke, and then we start all over again. So that's our complete movement until we get to the end. And that's just fun to sit and mess around with, you know, by itself. Then we start all over again. And that's just using a shape in the pentatonic scale. What I call box five in the pentatonic scale. Using that on the third fret, going back to the first fret. Now, once again, if one thing that you can do with these licks is you break them down into little bite-sized, manageable chunks, okay? And so each little section, that's one section. That's another section. That's another section. Actually, it's going to come down here. It's real easy to forget that one. First fret. So they're all like four or five different sections here, and then you just combine them all together. If you can see them and break them down and kind of spread them out and dissect everything and see them as individual parts of a huge lick, and that's one thing I went over in my Texas Blues course, is you have this large lick you want to learn. We'll break it down into little bitty sections and then combine it all together. So if each section was this, and then I had this lick, then I know I can combine each section together and then go back at the end and combine all that, okay? So here's my left hand. once again, this is all pull-offs. There's no hammer-ons here. So we have to remember to do that little pick and flick technique. So I'm flicking that every time for that pull-off. So that's my left hand. Now watch my right hand. Notice I'm picking some strings, every little section there, I'm picking some strings twice. So I'm picking the B string twice there, because I'm ending the section, then I'm starting the section again. So I'm picking the string from the B string up twice in a row sometimes. And that's the backtracking. That's what backtracking is, okay? And then it looks like the last lick I have here is a G descending exercise. I'm calling these licks because they are licks, but they're also really important to use as exercise. One thing I was going to mention a while ago that I just now remember what it was. The first thing we did, well, I use that a lot as a warm-up thing, especially if I'm about to play Gold Rush. I use that a lot when I'm getting ready to play, just so that I can get my hand used to picking across the strings. I will be able I'll use that because I'm going across all the strings, both down and up, backwards and forwards. And that's where, what I was mentioning earlier about getting used to the where you're at on the strings, doing these exercises that span across the whole string section helps your right hand become familiar with where you're at in those strings. So that's very important. That will help. These exercises work on multiple aspects: getting your left hand coordinated, getting your right hand coordinated, combining them together, knowing where you're at on the front, on the strings here. So there's a lot of different aspects, which is why it's important to play slowly, because you can't work on four things and expect to be right if you're speeding things up. So the last G exercise here is going to be a descending lick, okay? So give me a minute to take a look at it here. Okay, this is going to kind of almost like be like Berry Blossom a little bit. It's going to be a descending lick. We're going to go forwards and backwards a lot, and it's going to sound like this. So this is going to be on your tab. It's going to start with an open G. We're going to go forward, and then we're going to reverse the direction. This is not technically a backing track, a backtrack. That's the backtrack, because we're going back and then coming back now. Okay, so every one of those is the backtrack. This is all alternate picking. There's no hammer-ons and pull-offs in this one either. Now, it's licks like this. I used to think that I would never be able to play Blackberry Blossom. It was just too fast. I'd never be able to get it down. But when I learned, like I said, the right hand has a lot to do with it, and I practiced it slowly. Gradually, I started playing like technically difficult songs like Blackberry Blossom, Gold Rush, some of those, and I would work on it from time to time. I wouldn't sit here and you know, just distress over not being able to play it. I would play it a little bit at a time, try to see how fast I could get it, and if I crashed and burned, I would slow it down and try to get it as what I could. And gradually, I found that I could, in fact, increase the speed. This is not a Blackberry Blossom, but it is a similar kind of thing. It's this exercise. So let's say we're going at this speed. Well, now I can do that because I sat and practiced it slowly, and I repeated it, and I worked on it until I was able to finally get to that speed. So now I can play other songs that fast. The cool thing is, once you achieve that, as long as you keep maintaining and oiling the machinery, so to speak, you don't have to practice that a lot. and you're not going to ever decrease in the ability to play that speed if you continue to work on it, because you've already learned it. So now all you got to do is just maintain it from here to time to time. Use it as a little warm-up lick. Play Blackberry Blossom. Play Gold Rush. Play some difficult songs like that, to be able to just have like a little refresher course. Okay, and so that is, let me go this really slowly, and we're going to start with a downstroke again. A lot of these start with a downstroke, and it's all alternate picking. Okay, so that's going to feel a little weird. Is going up on that E string because you're coming up from the bottom of it. But the goal is to play that last note with a downstroke because it has more attack. You put more force on it because you got this big muscle here in your thumb. Steve Kaufman calls it your turkey leg. But you got this big muscle here in your thumb. And a lot of times you'll have to break the rules. Once you know the rules, once you know that you have to go down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, and you know that a hammer-on or a pull-off sometimes substitutes as one of those upstrokes or downstrokes, sometimes you have to break the rules and just for the sake of the song and the sake of the lick. And what I mean by that is if I was to play... For the sake of that, if I wanted to end that... I wanted that to be my last note. Then I would break that rule of two upstrokes there. I would break that rule and go to make that the final note, because you want the final note to stand out. You want it to be very forceful and effortless. And to do that, you'll have to have a downstroke. So once you get used and accommodate yourself to knowing the rules, then you can go back and break them as you need to, just for the sake of the lick or the song. I want to make that downstroke, so I'll break any rule that I have and just regard that in order to make that the downstroke be the last note, because it has more effort and has more of this, the lick is finished, that finalization, that closure. Okay, so that's the exercises in G. And I know this video is running a little bit long, but what I want to do is kind of do some of the similar things in the key of C, in the key of D, and because those are the three main things. You want to be able to, one of the key things is you want to be able to play a song and not be stuck playing it in just that key. Say you're playing a fiddle tune, and they have to play in A or D. You want to be able to play it in D, you want to be able to play it in C, because then you can move your capo up to the second fret and play it in C. And C shape, and so you want to learn the same lick say for example, you want to be able to do that in C, you want to be able to do it in D. And so I've got some of these exercises repeating in some of these other keys. So let's go on to C here, the C exercise licks. This will be C exercise lick number one, and this is a kind of a descending lick as well, kind of like the one that we had for G. Which looks like it's the fourth lick, maybe. The G lick was the last one we worked on. Here's one that you can do in C, the same deal. So it's the same thing, but now it's in C. One thing I want you to notice in bluegrass and picking is that you don't have to hold the chord shape the whole time. If I did that, see, if I'm holding this and it's causing me to have issues with being able to be free. You only want to be able to hold the chord whenever the chord shape, you know, those notes are needed. So I'm not needing these. This is the only note I need out of the C chord. And I'm letting it ring. I'm holding it down so that it will ring. Sustain is another important thing in bluegrass. Notice how those notes are blending together. I love the sound of that, and that is really important to get these cascading effects. Notice all those notes ringing out. If I dampen those, it wouldn't sound as good. Same thing with this. The B string is still ringing. The B string and the G string are ringing. So on and on and on. You want this sustain, this melding of the notes in the air. So I'm going to go over these a little quicker to extend the time, but like I said, this is kind of the same deal. If your fingers are used to doing this for the G one we just went over, then your fingers will kind of know the same pattern to find. Notice that started with a downstroke and ended with a downstroke. It's very important. Okay, so that's the C. Descending lick, example number one. And I'll go ahead and write that on here so that I don't forget what number it was. And I'm not a lefty, so this is kind of weird. Okay, so the next one we're going to go over is the C backing track lick. Okay, so example with the backing track lick in G, we did this. And you can use it, you can even use, that's kind of like two licks in one. You can even split that up and just go this far. And there's another example of where I would, I'm going to most of the time land on that D. So instead of wasting that second downstroke on the D, I'll put it on the next G string, the open G. And that'll be my G lick. So I can use just some of that, or I can start from there. Somewhere in there, I can incorporate another lick. But for C, the back tracking lick is going to kind of sound like this. To do that for G too. Well, let's just go ahead and do it for C. And I'll go over that G one here in just a second. So actually let's just go ahead and make it a G one, okay? So the G, the backtracking lick for G here, is another backtracking lick, is a very good one. And so just like this. That was the first section, then we went second section. Okay, for this one, we're going to do the other section. That's the first section in the key of G. So it's going to be down, up, down, down. Case I am breaking a rule because that should be, that pull off should be an upstroke. So actually it's the first note there was I break a rule. I'm going to the upstroke because I'm going to come back down to this G, and it's just easier to do it that way than going, because that would throw the rest of the lick off. So here's what it's going to be. Second fret, B, pull off. So it's going to be hammer on, then a pull off. And then from then, we're going to repeat that. And that's where it's going to kind of shift gears on the very last string, once again, for the sake of having a downstroke on the last note. It should be technically like that, but I don't want my last note to be an upstroke. I want it to be a downstroke. I have more attack that way. Okay, so watch my left hand. Remember that flick. Okay, now watch my right hand and notice what I'm doing. Let's do it again. See, my hand naturally wants to go to another upstroke there, or another downstroke, so that I have to remember at the very last second to switch my picking direction so that I can have a downstroke at the end. Let's do the same thing for C now. Be able to do this in, you know, all the keys so that you can use it wherever you're at and have that ability to do that. Okay? Pull off. Backing track, backtracking. That's where the backtrack comes in, by the way, that upstroke. So left hand. Hand. Okay, and then we have that. Okay, so the next C lick we're going to go over is the C version of Gold Rush. Making a terrible looking three here so that I can figure out what's going on. Okay, so we got a couple more licks here, a few more. We'll try to get this done. I know this video is running long. It may have to be split in two. I don't know. But here's what we're going to do. C Gold Rush. C. So once again. Nope. I'm holding the chord, some of the notes of the chord, like I said before, but I'm just holding them to ring them out. Downstroke. Once again, I'm holding this note. Then I've got the complete C at the end of the little exercise, this little lick. Now they're all running in together. And I'm kind of going to hold this down because I need that. Okay, and then we're going to go back. So the note I'm holding down the most is that first fret right there on the C note of the B string. Okay, so that's C Gold Rush, and like I said, I'm going to have to go through these a little faster. But if you go back and look at the G, it's very similar. And so now you're just going to look at the tab and get used to where your fingers need to be placed. Practice this first, then work on your picking, and then combine it together and cycle it over. Downstroke. Speed up a little bit. Let's just see how fast you can get with it. It's going to be a little messy, but a lot of times in songs like Gold Rush and a lot of them other songs are very fast, so you kind of just got to ignore messing up and just keep going so that for the sake of staying in time with the band. Even if you mess up, that's fine. And so that's the C Gold Rush. Let's go to the C Beaumont Rag lick. And that's the same thing as we did on G. It's almost the same exact thing. We're going to have maybe a little extra string up here. So here's the one, the G one, real quick. Now we're going to do the C. It's going to be on the next set of strings, starting on the A. And then once again, you can add that little. the end. That's two upstrokes and a down. And so at the end you could cycle it over or you could just end it like that. So there's no really use in me going over that one because that's identical to the G Beaumont rag lick, except it, now we're starting on the A string instead of the E string. So if you've got this far, then you probably already know how to do the G one. So here is another, looks like another backtrack in C, and it's in threes, which is what we've been doing with the G. You'll notice a little section with a backtrack. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. So it's the same thing. Now we're going to do it in C. There's going to be one in C here. And we're going to do C. And I'm leaving my finger down here. I'm gonna have to come right back to it and pull off. Up, down, remember up, down the last. Now watch my right hand, starting with an upstroke this time. Okay, so that is the C. Another backtrack in C, and the backtrack happens on that upstroke. Because we're going this way, then we're coming down here a little bit more. We're on the G, we're going back to the B, and then coming down a few more strings. D. That wraps it up for C. Now I don't know how much time we got left on this video. So this section is going to end with some D licks, okay? Because we want to be able to incorporate these exercises in the key of D. So I'm just going to follow these down in order that I've got them listed here, and we'll go over these fairly quickly. So we're going to go over D backing track next. C. So that one is, we're using the D shape. This is a little difficult because we're going to use our pinky so that we can reach back here. Here's what the D looks like. We're going to use our pinky so that we can reach back here with the first string. And then our ring finger is going to come here. Once again, it's going to be an up, down. And one of the key things about this is, I'm going to get on this later, is learning the D, not just like this, but like this as well. So that you can be able to extend your reach from just here to being able now to extend up. And we're going to go over that a little while later when we get into scales and different things on how to get up and down the neck. But that is the important shape to learn. It's going to help you be able to get up and down the neck a lot of the time. Is we're going to take and use 4th fret D string, 2nd fret G string, 3rd fret B string, and I'm going to ignore the E string there. And that's kind of a tougher lick, but here it is again. Broke that up into sections. Mm-hmm. tough. You got to practice it so that you can get a little faster. Once again, it's the same kind of deal on the picking hand as I've used on another one. It's a little different though because your hands are not, my hands are not really used to that shape. So that's the D backing track, back track. Now let's do another one. It says that this one's the same, kind of the same thing. It's kind of the same thing, except now we're going back to this little pattern here. About this, you've got to remember is I have a tendency to make that open. You've got to have this first finger coming back on that second fret to catch those notes. And then after that backtrack, go straight down to the D string. So as you're moving, you've got to move this first finger from the second fret, G, to the D. And that's kind of the biggie there. The next one is D Beaumont Rag. We have this one, and it looks like we have one more after that, and then this picking exercise video will be done. Okay, so I have a few more things, just a couple more things on this video, but I don't think I'll have time to do that. So let's go ahead and do this last D lick here. The last couple, the Beaumont Rag type of thing. You can end it one or two ways. You could go, you can end with the low E, or you can come back. Come back to that G. Third fret. Now this is the same thing as G, basically. The same thing as that, except you're not going to have a low note to go to. You have to go back to the open D. I think the sounds better. And that's the same thing as G, so I'm not really going to go over that. That is all alternate picking, starting with the downstroke, and then continuing on until the last note is a downstroke. Okay? The very last thing we're going to go over is a descending lick, a descending exercise for D. This is kind of like what we just did, but this is going to be expanding the whole fretboard. So this is going to be, paper's all the way down, I can't hardly see it. Okay, that's a long one. And that's a good one to get your hand used to playing that down, up, down, up. Bar that, because that's going to be where that note's going to be. Now we can end it here, but we're not. We're going to go the whole thing. Bar. Okay, now the other problem area, the bar. And when you get back to that open B, I have a tendency to work this. But that's not going to work. Because it's the same note. So you have to, after that open B, you have to go back to that G string here on the second fret. Then back to the D. Do that slowly, left hand, excuse me, let's do this again, ear is itching. And that was a long lick, okay? It's hard to do that without messing up, but you want to practice it slowly so that you can get it right, okay? So that's going to wrap it up for now. On the next video, I will talk about some open string transitions. That's where I left off here. And it's where I'm going to go ahead and start and begin on the next video. So we'll talk about open string transitions. This also aids in picking techniques. And we'll talk about a little bit more about practice, and we'll go on into the major scales and practice tips. Okay, so we're going to start working on major scales. We're going to tell you how to practice these things, and we're going to go over some open string transitions, because this will also aid in not only learning the fretboard, but also in helping the up and down thing, the up and down factor happen. Okay, so thank you so much, and I will see you on the next video, and I hope you're enjoying the course so far. And so thanks so much, and I can't wait to see you on the next video.